Well, greetings again, everyone, and greetings to all the guests and all the kids and the wrath of little people who are inundating the hall at the moment, five of which are my grandkids. There's social trends that are taking place right now. There's a political environment that is very visible right now. Even celebrities are stepping into the muck and mire of our world. It's surprising to me that there is a culture change that I would never have believed possible. Today, if you do not agree with me, you can be a target of harassment and disrespect. If you do not agree with me, you must be a racist, you must be a misogynist, you must be, add the term, because you don't agree with me. Celebrities have gone overboard. Miss Kathy Griffin, you might have seen where she had a photograph taken with the head of an image of Mr. Trump's head and thought that would be appropriate humor. She then went to the New York Central Park. I tried buying Central Park one time. Can't do it. Well, I need to be near people, and I wanted nice grass and water, and Central Park came to mind. Different, never mind. And she was in the park, and she took exception with how she was being treated. She was offended at how she was being treated for her treatment of Mr. Trump. Many celebrities are up in arms that Mr. Trump won the election. I've never seen a culture change where a sitting president is vilified every night by by political pundits, comedians, celebrities, individuals. Today, running rampant is disrespect for everything and everyone. There was someone who took offense to something I said, and I mentioned, just because you're offended doesn't mean you're correct. And yet everyone who feels offended believes they are correct. It's ironic, in the Bay Area is Berkeley, the hotbed in the 60s of free speech, now limits free speech because they don't want to be offended by your different view of life. Disrespect respect is a missing social fundamental these days. Had a conversation a couple of weeks ago. It was with adults, and a young 8-year-old walked up, waited patiently, raised his hand to ask a question. I acknowledged that young man. There was respect toward others. There was respect for the situation. But respect is missing in today's society. Simple respect. You can't look at the news without politicians being vilified, the police being vilified, social justice workers, SJWs, that's a new term to me. Anything that goes against them is offensive, and therefore you're wrong. And there is disrespect. Respect is defined as that which is considered worthy of high or special regard. To respect is a way of treating or thinking about someone or something that which is considered for special regard, how we feel or treat or think about that someone or something. It's the basic courtesy, care for others. It's the golden rule. It's the golden rule. If we are not careful, if we are not cautious, if we are not watchful, if we are not alert, we too can build up this lack of respect for the world around us and make it part of us. It can be that easy because it's so infiltrating society. It's incredible. What does the Bible say about respect? Why does it matter? Does respect really matter in a Christian's life? A Christ follower's life. I want to turn to the Ten Commandments, but before we do, let's start in Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. Philemon didn't work. Deuteronomy. They were going into the book of the law. And we're talking, again, using the camp idea of a relationship with God as a foundation. Let's go forward. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. There's no reservation. It's total. It's complete. There's no exit strategy in loving God that way. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And the words he was talking about, it was the Ten Commandments, Deuteronomy 5. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. It's a way of life. These are so important. It's a way of life. You shall bind them as a sign in your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You know, many people I've visited have the Ten Commandments on their wall. It becomes part of us. These words, these very simple words, are to be respected. If you saw the movie Hacksaw Ridge, or if you know of the fellow by the name of Desmond Doss, he is the medic during World War II who received the Medal of Honor for saving 75 lives. The army said 100, he said 50, so they split the difference. On the wall was the Ten Commandments, and he believed them. And he said, why, we keep the Sabbath. What about murder? He said, when the war took place, he said, I will go into the army. I will be a conscientious cooperator. I want to serve. I want to save lives. And he became a medic. And in his training, because he believed from his very heart, he never picked up a weapon. He never fired a gun. And when he was under in combat conditions and he had opportunity to hurt others, he never did. And after the battle, the Battle of Hacksaw Ridge was finally won, the individuals went through there and they found many Americans with American-trained bandages on them, as well as Japanese with American bandages. Because he treated everyone the same. He treated everyone the same. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign in your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. It becomes a part of you. It is important for families to share with their children to know and practice respect toward God and toward man. Respect toward God and toward man. Respect is key to the Ten Commandments. The first four are respect toward God. I know we say love of God, but it's also respect toward God. The last six are respect for our fellow man. The first one, God comes first. Anything less is disrespect. Anything less in our life other than God coming first is disrespect toward God. We must consider God worthy of high and special regard. He called us to Him, opened our mind to the future, gave us His Holy Spirit, gave us power to overcome. God must come first. Anything less is disrespect. In a world that simply denies the existence of God, my jaw drops because so much proof is all around us. The world is in denial about God and is learning more denial. The second commandment, do not make any graven image. And I thought through this. To have a graven image of a being we've never seen demeans and dismisses God. It relegates God to man's level. And that is total disrespect. We see God in His creation, and that's That's extraordinary. Psalm 107 says, I always go there. Psalm 107 says, go to the, look at the wonders of God in the deep. Well, Tamara and I, we taught scuba. We did. We went down there. But at the time, these individuals would only had nets, and they pulled the deep up to them. What's under the water is extraordinary. And we get to see God's creation. We get to see God's organization. We get to see God's perfection in His creation. But we don't create an image of God and say, that's our God. I interviewed one gal. She was an artist from India. And she took me in her backyard, and she started pointing out her gods, G, small g, the god of this, and the god of that, and the god of that. And how diminutive their gods are. Because they sit on stools and pedestals, and they are dead. Our God isn't. And to create an image demeans and dismisses God and brings God down to man's level and is a level of disrespect. What about God's name? Oh, you can't turn on the news. You can't listen to movies without hearing God's name being taken in vain. Using God's name to damn someone or something or to term by God is a trite expression and is a complete show of disrespect toward God. He says His name is holy. It's a holy name. Now, it's not a name that we should shy away from using, but we are to respect His name. We are to respect His name. From the Jewish Study Bible, talking about oaths where people take the name of God and invoke an oath, it says, a false oath shows contempt for God by implying the swearer does not fear the consequences of misusing God's name. This world has no fear of God anymore. And sometimes it is easy for us to fall prey to the attitude of the world around us. Well, the fourth commandment, the Sabbath day, honors God. Also, the Sabbath day, why we're here, it's a gift from God. It's given by God. It's made for mankind. If I were to give you a gift and you were to say, hey, thank you, and you throw it away, complete disregard it. I need my pen. It's complete disregard and dismissal of a gift. The Sabbath is a gift, and it honors God, and it gives us time to rest and to look at God and look at His creation and to look at our relationship with Him. Isaiah 58, verse 13. Isaiah 58, verse 13. Here's a reference to our understanding and how to observe the Sabbath. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, a day which Christ says, He is the Lord of the Sabbath, and I've given you the Sabbath, it's my gift to you, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasures, not speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to rise on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. I remember when I first was taught the Sabbath day and a misunderstanding on how to keep that day, I hated the Sabbath. You didn't tell my mother no, but boy, I hated the day. It wasn't until I understood what the Sabbath was about. I understood I take a break from the world around me. I have an opportunity to stop from my activities. I've learned to throw a switch on Friday, leaving work, and I would not think about it until I went back on Monday. I worked with individuals who ended up with ulcers because they took work with them 24/7, and they couldn't get through it. They didn't have the Sabbath day to rest, to take away. When it says to turn your foot away from the Sabbath, In the Jewish Bible, it says to trample underfoot, to have disregard or treat common. This time, Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, is not common time. It's not time that we should to disregard it. We should not trample this underfoot. It shouldn't be dismissed, shouldn't be dishonored. It should be respected. In the New King James, it says to refrain from trampling your foot, that's from the Tanakh, or showing disrespect. Like taking off your shoes before walking on a carpet. There's some folk I visit, everybody takes their shoes off. It's the respect of the house. I always remember to have good socks on. We are to honor God in special ways on this holy day of the Lord. The NET says, you must observe the Sabbath rather than doing anything you please on my holy day. You must look forward to the Sabbath and treat the Lord's holy day with respect. You must treat it with respect by refraining from your normal activities and by refraining from your selfish pursuits and from making business deals. The CJB version of the Bible of Isaiah 58, if you hold back your foot on Shabbat from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call Shabbat a delight, Adonai's holy day, worth honoring, then honor it by not doing your usual things or pursuing your interests or speaking about them. There are three categories listed here. Refraining from normal activities, refraining from selfish or personal pursuits, or talking about those things. This day is a wonderful day. This is a day when, if you go back, and we will eventually, go over the five themes, the five daily themes of developing a relationship with God, where we share God's intervention in your life. You know, sometimes we only do it once a year, at the night to be much observed. How did you get here? And you hear incredible miracles taking place on individuals who are called. But we should be doing that daily. We should be doing that weekly. We should be doing that constantly. The Sabbath, we honor God when we respect this time. It is His time given to us. Let's add to that. We are accountable for all our words and all our deeds and how we treat others and how we address others and how we approach others. It's that important. Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 34. And that doesn't make sense to me. Didn't make sense last time. Matthew 12, 34. Oh, yes, it does. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, being part of the world, being normal of society, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Every idle word that comes out of the heart of man, that we speak, we're accountable for. Whether we are respecting or disrespecting, it is part of us. The principle here is of the Sabbath, going back, is to honor God by making the Sabbath a special day by refraining. I already went over that. Never mind. The principle here is we have the ability to respect and or disrespect. We have the ability to share God's way, showing His way works, or to say, I'll just do my way and I will disrespect you. Now, I've had to repent over a number of things. I won't share them with you. I mean, we're all human. Everyone in this room has had to repent over and over. We are all accountable for our words. There are times when I've said the wrong word knowing it was disrespectful, and I had to eat those words. I've had to change and show respect. It's nicer to show respect first than to show respect with humility and embarrassment. So we should always start with respect. 1 Corinthians 11:4, let's add to where I was going and make a sad transition here. 1 Corinthians 11:4. Just as an example, every man praying or prophesying or preaching or teaching, inspired teaching, having his head covered dishonors his head. Wow, very simple statement. Every man praying or prophesying, teaching with inspired teaching, having his head covered dishonors his head. This is probably the origin of a long-standing tradition in our culture for men to remove their caps or hats as a show of respect. We do that during the national anthem. We do that when we enter a house. We do that when we meet individuals of note. We take off our hat. Bowing the head or kneeling is also a gesture of respect. And you can stand with respect. When a judge enters a courtroom, when someone enters a room or a home, they stand as a matter of respect. In public prayer, you stand. It's a matter of respect. Here, it's just simply saying, if you're praying or teaching or giving inspired teaching, you don't cover your head as a sign of respect for the situation and the opportunity. The attire that we have for the occasion is also a situation where it represents our respect. At work, when I first started with the old Rocket Factory, it was white shirts and ties. Oh, that was standard, white shirts and ties. But very soon, we were getting engineers who had no clue how to tie a tie, and they were uncomfortable. And it came down from management, you shall not wear white shirts and ties. Please be more casual. I had to be taken aside because I happen to like ties. I was taken aside more than once. They changed the environment. But at the time, that was the uniform of the day. Whether it was short sleeve, long sleeves, it was white shirt and tie. I used to go to the theater. Correction, I still go to the theater. But I used to go to the theater. I would dress up. I thought that was an appropriate thing. You go to the theater today and you think you're at a sports event. You pay $200 a seat to see something on stage, and someone's got a ball cap and khakis next to you. I found that very interesting. When I first started flying, traveling back in the 60s, 70s, way long time ago, people would travel. They would dress up to get on an airplane because it was an event. Now it's, whoa, they show up in the most interesting things. It becomes very interesting. There is a respect for the event. There is a respect for the event. From Dress for Respect by Irene Taylor, she writes, the clothes we wear may not make the man, and they don't. They don't change an individual. They don't make us who we are. But they make a definite statement about our attitude toward ourselves and toward others. Business leaders recognize this and emphasize the importance of dressing for success. There's an old joke that you dress for the job you want. And the idea being, if you're in the mailroom and you want management, you'd show up in management clothes. Someone showed up in Hawaii garb and flip-flops because his next job, he wanted to be on the beach. Okay, bad joke. Never mind. The way we present ourselves reflects our attitude toward life in general. We have become so casual in our dress, we think casually about events toward which respect should be shown. A lax dress code shows a lack of respect. There are ways that we show respect, even in the small ways, and how we dress and how we act. Let's get back to the Ten Commandments, the last six. The fifth commandment, children, honor your parents. It's the first commandment of promise. So that your days will be long upon the earth. Have respect for your parents. Your parents are your first teachers. They are your first examples. They are the first ones who are going to help you in society. Today, unfortunately, evidence in society is of a growing me first, I don't care, your opinion, attitude doesn't matter. Respect must be taught. Respect must be observed, especially in the home. The head of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, while he may not be the most pristine example one could go to, he made a statement. He said, a child who has been taught respect for the laws of God will have little difficulty respecting the laws of man. Absolutely right. If we have respect for the laws of God, we will have little difficulty respecting the laws of man. Respect is a missing element in society. It is just not here. And it is visibly gone. Visibly gone. Sixth commandment, not to murder. We have respect for human life. It is so important to have compassion for one another. It is so important to have care for one another. It is so important to respond to the needs of one another. Our fellow human beings are heirs according to God's call. Everyone in this room is an heir to God. Everyone outside this room is an heir to the kingdom. And we should have compassion on all human life, everyone. No one left out. Number seven is not to commit adultery. That is respect for your mate in marriage. That is respect for your mate in marriage. You're not going to watch the entertainment that is going to take your mind off things. You're not going to read material or look at material that's going to take your mind off the perfecting of your marriage. You're going to focus on your marriage. You're going to have respect for that environment, that event in your life. The eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. You have respect for the property of others. You have respect for the property of others. I like Abraham's example. And he says, I'm not going to take anything that doesn't come from God. I've even bypassed vending machines where the coin's still in the slot. That doesn't belong to me. I leave it. The individual may come back. I don't know. But I don't want anything that doesn't belong to me. The ninth commandment, not to bear false witness. There is a special regard for the truth. Having a respect for, a special regard for the truth. I don't have a good enough memory to lie. I can't remember what I told you and then told you differently or told you. All I have to do is just put the truth in the back of my mind and just remember the truth. We have a special respect and regard for the truth. And then everyone who asks us will know we will only give them the truth. And in doing so, we will show God's way works. Always. Always. The tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet whatever belongs to someone else. What belongs to others belongs to them. I have respect for what God has given me. And I don't get excited about what's missing. I get excited about what He's given me. Oh, there's things I want, sure, but I'll work for them. They'll think there's things I want, but I'll ask my Father to help me get them. And I'll see how other people are using them, but I don't want theirs. I won't manipulate and manage them until I get what I want from them. We have respect for what belongs to others and what God has given them and what God has given us. We do all this so that we respect others and we respect ourselves and we respect God so that we show God's way works in all areas. we show God's way works in all areas. There's an area that has to be addressed when we talk about respect that is seriously missing, that is evident every time you turn on the television, every time you read a newspaper. And that is respect for authority. It has gone out the window. We have a sitting president who is disrespected on a by-minute basis. You don't have to agree with him. I don't know of any politician I would agree with 100%. And I don't know of any politician I would disagree with 100%. But God teaches us something differently about having respect for authority. Let's go to Romans 13. Romans 13. Romans. Just after Acts, just before Corinthians, Romans 13. Sadly, authority is a game for attack. And what you don't like, you criticize. And what you dislike, what you disagree with, you criticize. And then you disrespect. All the rallies that took place in 2016, and there are rallies still today about events that are taking place in Washington. There's great disrespect for authority. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now, at the time this was written, we were not talking about a democratically elected individual who had gone through 6 months campaigning. We're talking about a dictator who, if he didn't like you, you're dead. He was talking about individuals who had life and death literally in their hand. There is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Authorities, whether you agree or not, whether it's dictatorial or democratic, whether it's Democrat or Republican or independent, doesn't matter. They are there for us. And we're not to fear them if we do good. Do good, follow the Ten Commandments. Have respect for God's law. For he is God's minister, servant, to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. We are to reflect God in everything. We may disagree with rulers over us. We may disagree with politicians who run our government. But we are held to a higher standard. We are to follow God's way, God's law, so that those who are in authority, good or bad, right or wrong, will respect us. We have respect for rulers, even though we don't have to agree with them. God put them there. Whether it's taxes, whether it's honor, whatever it is, we are to respect those in rule over us. I often go to Daniel 4. Daniel 4 makes it quite clear. Those in Christendom, those organizations who claim Christ as their leader, will often take politicians to task. But in Daniel 4, verse 17, the decision is by the decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know, so that no one is without understanding, that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will and sets over it the lowest of men. The King James Version says the basest of men. That's what happens. God rules in the kingdom of men. He sets up governments as he wishes all over the world, not just here in the United States, not just in South America, not just in Central Asia. He rules in the world of men for his purpose. The world expected Mrs. Clinton to be president. Weeks before the election, everyone said Mr. Trump was a waste of time. He would lose in a landslide. I watched all those reports. Mrs. Clinton was expected to be president. And as the results started coming in, the political pundits' jaws started to drop, and they just, eyes got open like a deer in the headlights, and they just couldn't believe where things were going. Because God rules in the world of men and sets up whom he wants to set up. And those whom he sets up are ministers to serve, and they are not a terror to us because we respect who's ever in the office. Agree or disagree, we are still to show respect for the office and the officer. It's hard sometimes. I had to repent. I think from this pulpit, I made a mistake. I said in the election to come, we had a liar, a bully, and a loony. And that was disrespecting those who were running for office. And I had to apologize, which I'm doing right now. I apologize for that. I'd forgotten my responsibility that God sets up whom he wants. And if I take exception with whom is in office, I'm taking exception with my Father. And God said, don't do that. In order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. He sets over whom he wants. God rules in the kingdom. He sets them up. Therefore, we should have respect for whomever is in office. Whomever is in office. And right now, Mr. Trump is vilified, torn apart, burned in effigy, almost on a daily basis. Titus 3, please. Titus 3. Titus 3. This is probably the hardest one. It is so easy to get swept up in having disrespect for politicians because we see them so clearly. We see them so clearly. Whenever they speak, we know that half the time they're lying. So it's hard to have respect. But we are reminded that we are to have respect. Titus 3, verse 1. Remind them, as I'm reminding us, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men, showing God's way works, regardless of agreeing with who's in charge. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to all men. Avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. We can get wrapped up in so many things, we end up disrespecting one another. And we forget that we are all heirs, according to our calling, heirs of the future. We are all heirs together. That's probably the hardest thing, is respecting authority, regardless of and being in agreement with who's ever in authority. Having respect for authority, even though we are bombarded constantly, daily, with disrespect from TV, radio news, written news, it's all there. The Bible emphasizes over and over mutual respect. Ephesians 5, please. Ephesians 5, a few pages back. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I mean, redeeming the time, or buy back for a special purpose. And the days are normal. They're basically out of control. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be balanced. Watch your behavior. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. We should talk with one another as heirs according to salvation. We should show respect toward one another constantly. We should have care for one another. We should show love one for another. Husbands, verse 33, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The very center of a relationship is love and respect one for another. You honor the mate. You care for the mate. It's not combat. There's not a fight to see who's top dog in a marriage. It's working together. When man and woman come together and they become one, they become one. They're not fighting for control. Their mate becomes their focus, making their mate successful. And when both make their mate successful, you have a single unit that is growing in grace and knowledge, respecting one another. Husbands and wives, we love and respect one another. We put each other first. Not to be outdone, Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, oh no. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Sometimes it's easy for children to disrespect the parents because the parents don't do things just the way they should. Again, that's an authority over you, and all children should respect their parents. Don't have to follow bad example, but they have to respect them. And parents, don't disrespect your children and drive them to wrath or anger. That's hard to do sometimes too, where we disregard the little ones. We just set them aside, or we treat them with disrespect. We should love our children with a passion like nobody's business, like Christ loved us. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. That was a pure sacrifice. That was giving up his life for the church. Parents, we do the same thing. I'd give my life for every one of my kids. And I just don't mean my daughters. I mean all my kids. All my kids. Children would respect parents. Parents should respect children. We should respect the little ones. We should respect those who can't give back to us. I think that is a wonderful thing. I forget where I read this. That true honor and true respect is helping someone who cannot help you back. So, to help someone who cannot give you anything back. And there is such a satisfaction in doing that. And I like to do those things anonymously. An individual who can't help me back, and then to do it anonymously. I love doing that. Sorry, I told you. It's anonymous, so should it. It's Ephesians 6, verse 5. So we've talked about husbands, wives. We've talked about children. Now let's talk about employers, employees. Ephesians 6, verse 5. Again, mutual respect. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. You're stuck as a bondservant. You're stuck as a slave. Serve your master as if you're serving Christ. Individuals who were in that condition were called. They were not removed from their situation, but they were called to show God's way works. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. I worked with eye service. I worked with some. I remember a boss came into our cubicle area, and he stopped all of us from what we were working on. He says, I need you to do this. And as he walked away, the guy to my right just rolled his eyes. Oh, yeah, we'll do it. But he rolled his eyes, and he was going to serve with eye service. He said he would, and he did, but never forgot that. Verse 7, the goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. We're to do the will of God from the heart. Serving as a bondservant, serving our masters as if we serve God and Christ. And to do goodwill as to God, as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or from free. And you masters, oh, don't think you're going to get away. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. There needs to be mutual respect. Employer to employee, teacher to student, parent to child, child to parent, mate to mate. There needs to be respect completely in our life. We need to respect ourselves and others. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 4. Very simple little scripture that adds to my theme. Philippians 2, verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let each of you respect not only your own interests, but also the interests of others. Let each of you love not only your own interests, but love the interests of others. Because we're all on the same journey. Whether today we are all called or they're yet to be called, we're to respect others. We're to take the interests of others over ourselves sometimes. We're to respect God's creation. We're to have respect for ourselves. Psalms 24:1, you can put it in your notes. To have respect for God's creation. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything in it belongs to God. We're to have respect for God's creation. We're to have respect for those yet to be born into His kingdom. We're to respect ourselves. And if we respect ourselves, we have respect for God and His calling. If we have respect for ourselves and for God, we take care of ourselves and we take care of those around us. Let's close with 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Sometimes we don't take care of ourselves. I'm running out of time here. That's all right. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. By obeying God's law, we will take care of the temple that God has given to us. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Therefore, you were bought with a price, an incredible price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are to have respect for ourselves. We are to have respect for others. We are to have respect for God. We are to have respect for His law. We are to have respect for authorities that are in this world. Respect begins at home. Respect is a keynote of a Christian attitude. Respect for God and man's world is a personal mandate that we all have on us. How important is it that we show respect in our lives? It's very important. Hope that was helpful. Sadly,